in the lunchtime edition. Barbados to get additional financial aid and reduce fiscal targets under a new deal just reached with the IMF. Last night's St. George North by election debate gets less than stellar reviews from political pundits and the general public. Hundreds of taxi operators turn up for a training session on the COVID-19 protocols. A national consultation on the elderly gets underway here. Liat returns to the skies from tomorrow. And a voting surge points to a record turnout in the U.S. presidential elections. Good afternoon, I'm Stetson Babb. This is The Latest.
The Lunchtime Edition in association with CIBC First Caribbean and ICBL. Always there when you need us most.
When we use our passion to create something special, we cherish the experience that brings the result. It isn't always smooth sailing, but that's the beauty of it. Because through experience and the help of knowledgeable partners, we learn and grow together. And we dream bolder dreams for the future, confident that your passion and our expertise will bring an ever bright tomorrow. ICBL, always there when you need us most.
Whenever you want, wherever you are, for all your banking needs, we make it easy. CIBC, First Caribbean, we've got all your banking solutions. CIBC, First Caribbean. CIBC, First Caribbean.
An International Monetary Fund team has reached a staff-level agreement with Barbadian authorities on the fourth review of Barbados's Economic Recovery and Transformation, or BERT program, supported by the IMF Extended Fund Facility. A statement posted on the IMF website today says the government has lowered its primary balance target to minus 1% of GDP for fiscal year 2020 to 2021 to fight the coronavirus pandemic. To help finance the emerging fiscal deficit and related balance of payments needs, an augmentation of the extended fund facility of about $66 million is also proposed. This after an IMF team led by Bert Van Sem conducted a virtual mission between this week, October 26 to 30th, to discuss implementation of the BERT plan. The report noted that the COVID-19 pandemic has had a major impact on Barbados's economy, with a double-digit decline in economic activity projected for 2020 after tourism came to a virtual standstill between March and June. The IMF says that despite this very challenging environment, Barbados continues to make good progress in implementing what it calls an ambitious and comprehensive economic reform program. It notes that the BERT program target for net international reserves was met by a wide margin, as was the target for the Central Bank of Barbados's net domestic assets. And in response to the pandemic, the government of Barbados is now targeting a primary balance of minus 1% of GDP for fiscal year 2020 to 2021, compared to a surplus of 6% of GDP envisaged prior to the pandemic. The IMF says the lowered primary balance target accommodates the loss of government revenues stemming from the pandemic and facilitates emergency outlays on health facilities, medical supplies, and income support to the most vulnerable. The IMF staff agreed to easing of the fiscal stance and, subject to the approval by the IMF Executive Board, proposes an augmentation of the extended fund facility in the amount of $66 million to help finance the emerging fiscal deficit. Embarrassing, farcical, and even potentially slanderous is how last night's St. George North by election debate has been generally described by political scientists and members of the general public. The debate, televised live, featured three of the six candidates after the Democratic Labour Party, the People's Party for Democracy and Development, and the United Progressive Party pulled out. It was moderated by Emmanuel Joseph, the president of the Barbados Association of Journalists and Media Workers, which had been given responsibility for organizing the debate. In her introductory remarks to today's edition of VOB's call-in program, Getting Down to Brass Tacks, University political scientist Dr. Christina Hines offered this assessment.
It was entertaining. It was entertaining television, certainly, but I would not say it was a good debate. Yes, there was this comedy factor that prevailed, unintentional though it was, but this prevailed over education and the provision of information, in my opinion, because we are sort of amused by the things that are being said that are not meant to be amusing. The entertainment is supposed to be wrapped up in the educational part of the programming. And I really thought that was lacking in yesterday's debate. I was really disappointed by it, to be honest.
Her first caller was former journalist, cabinet minister, and diplomat Glenn Murray, who didn't think the debate should have taken place at all, certainly as organized.
I think you're being charitable in calling it a debate. I thought it was just a question and answer session. There was no real engagement of the three camps among themselves on any regular basis that you can really glean anything else. It did not make any sense to me whatsoever. But then do I think there's no evidence here? When you start wrong, you end wrong. I think this whole thing was doomed in the manner which was introduced.
Political scientist Dr. George Bell, a retired former senior lecturer and dean of the Faculty of Social Sciences at the University of the West Indies Cayfield campus, had this view.
I would say that it was a poor show. It was obviously the point of a farce. As I said before, that I felt that the debate was unnecessary, and with the withdrawal of the major players, especially the Democratic Labour Party, out of the debate, which I think was quite justified. I think that you got the result then of one body with any kind of meaning being in the process, and the other two really talking from positions of grave political naivety. The final set of questions were also a bit ridiculous.
Another political scientist, Peter Wickham, believes the debate will have little bearing on the outcome of the by-election, but felt the contribution of one palace in particular was, in his words, a distraction.
Perceptions regarding the debate would have been negatively affected by the absence of Floyd Reefer and the inability to get him to participate. And then after it started, we had the performance of Alex Mitchell, and I think that he pretty much shocked everyone with the types of comments that he was making, and it was a distraction. But if we could set those two issues aside, I found the conversation between Tony Moore and Granville Phillips is an interesting one.
This is the Lunchtime Edition.
In association with the CIBC First Caribbean and ICBL, always there when you need us most.
When we use our passion to create something special, we cherish the experience that brings the result. It isn't always smooth sailing, but that's the beauty of it. Because through experience and the help of knowledgeable partners, we learn and grow together. And we dream bolder dreams for the future, confident that your passion and our expertise will bring an ever bright tomorrow. ICBL, always there when you need us most.
The opposition leader, Bishop Joseph Affoli, head of the PDP, is taking issue with what he claims is a case of school children being used as political props in the St. George North by-election. He contacted Starcom Network News to express concern about a scene in a video he said was being circulated on social media.
I can understand politicians interacting with minors, even at the primary level of our school system, and encouraging them to an appreciation for government and governance. But to use primary school children as partisan props in the middle of a by-election, I think goes beyond the pale. I'm really calling on the Minister of Education to offer us an explanation on the behalf of the governing party as to the circumstances which could have led to that.
More than 500 taxi operators showed up at the Lloyd Erskine Center for this morning for an orientation session on the COVID-19 protocols.
I heard through the grapevine that if you don't have this certification, certain work will not be allotted to you. So I thought it incumbent upon myself to come and be certified this morning.
From what you understand, it's very, very important, because it means at the end of the day, you should be able to know how to deal with people being, you know, with the COVID-19 and everything. So it shouldn't be a situation where you're kind of flying blind.
I need to find out what is what.
A national consultation on the elderly is underway in Barbados today, taking place virtually. Minister of Elderly Affairs and People Empowerment, Cynthia Ford.
Aging also brings with it greater vulnerability to disorders such as heart disease, stroke, cancers, arthritis, mental disorders, including a variety of dementias and other chronic non-communicable diseases. All of these conditions have implications for the provision and delivery of social services, as well as other concerns such as income security, access to health services, housing, transportation.
Leah, due to resume flights from tomorrow with a service to Dominica, a statement issued after the Antigua government's weekly cabinet meeting said the High Court-appointed Administrator Cleveland Seaforth updated ministers on the ongoing plans to recapitalize the airline that stopped flying in March. The statement confirmed that the Antigua-based carrier will fly to Dominica tomorrow and indicated that it is expected to provide a schedule of services to other Caribbean destinations, including the United States Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico, shortly. Our top stories. Barbados to get additional financial aid and reduce fiscal targets under a new deal just reached with the International Monetary Fund. Last night's St. George North by-election debate gets less than stellar reviews from political pundits and the general public. Hundreds of taxi operators turn up for a training session on the COVID-19 protocols. A national consultation on the elderly gets underway here, and Liat returns to the skies from tomorrow. The lunchtime edition of the latest from Starcom Network News. Starcom Network, a member of the OCM Group. I'm Stetson Babb. Good afternoon.
The lunchtime edition in association with CIBC First Caribbean and ICBL, always there when you need us most.